every life will never run dry in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Heavenly Father. To you alone be all the glory. For in Jesus' precious and mighty name, we have prayed. And the church will say, believing, amen. And the beloved brethren will shout a louder, amen. Now join me with beloved workers and wave your hands and shout hallelujah. Shout a louder hallelujah. Together now, let's put those hands together for Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may please be seated. I want to particularly appreciate the name of the living God for this honor and privilege to be back home once again. I consider it home because, like our chaplain said, I am not particularly new to this wonderful fellowship, a fellowship I cherish so much. I'm coming from a place where we also operate the chaplaincy. Once in a while, by the grace of God, we still join them. And I know the vision behind chapels and chaplaincy activities are very strong and great. So please, every one of us, let's see it as a rare privilege God has given to us to be a part of this glorious vision. And as we avail ourselves for God, the Lord of heaven himself, we continue to multiply his unction upon us in Jesus' name. I want to thank our board chair, thank our chaplaincy, all the leadership. Thank you so much. I consider this a very great privilege and very much appreciated. Now, I have been given a specific time and I intend to keep very closely to that time. I know about 6 or so minutes have gone from my time. I'm glad that there's a clock in front of me so that on or before 11:15, this session will be over. Thank you very much once again. So the topic that I have been given, and I see that it drives practically everything we have come to do in this retreat, is one that says serving with excellence. Please, beloved brethren, if you don't mind, and I want to crave your indulgence, I may trouble you once in a while. I may ask you to repeat a few things after me. Please don't mind me. I'll just say a few things and get out of your way. But within that short time, please indulge me. So if you don't mind, can you say after me, everyone? Say with me, serving with excellence. Now, you see, I know we are workers. By the grace of God, I'm also a worker in a particular ministry. And I know that we who are workers, our own approach to issues are slightly different. We can be a bit militant in our approach. So like a militant worker in the vineyard of God this morning, say with confidence, say, I will serve God with excellence. You know, I beg you that I'll trouble you. Please look at your neighbor and say, my neighbor, my neighbor. I don't know about you, but look at me very well. I am called of God to serve with excellence. If you are that glorious vessel, join me shouting aloud, amen. Beloved brethren, I don't want to scare you, but there is an epidemic that is ongoing in our times and days. I know that who are the best people to understand the word epidemic, if not people who are in the medical service. We may not necessarily be medical doctors, but people who are hovering around, you know, medical service, a hospital like this, there's an epidemic. But quickly, I must add a proviso. The epidemic is not like the kind of COVID-19 and some of the outbreaks that we witness, but an epidemic wherein it seems as if people have lost touch with the meaning of that word service, or when we are called to serve. Oftentimes you see people serving and painfully, even in the household of God, and we serve as if we have called ourselves unto ourselves. And that's why I quickly wanted to shake the table by telling you there's an epidemic. There's an epidemic of poor and low quality service in our times and days. And that is why when I saw this topic and somehow we tidied the itinerary up with our chaplain and I knew I'll be here, I was very glad. I said, thank you, Jesus, for laying this burden in the heart of our leaders. That we who are called of God, we who are glorious vessels, identified as workers, can come together, have a conversation, so that when heaven is looking down, we will not be numbered among those who are unnecessarily carried away by the epidemic of poor service or lack of service in the vineyard of God. So, in your heart where you are, say another word of prayer for our leaders. It is God who has led them place this burden in their hearts. Why? Because in our times and days, service is not looking so well. And it's in everything. In everything. People do things half-heartedly. Let's look at this. A lot of us are workers. In true sense of it, if not because you're a child of God, you are doing your work well, how many people are motivated to render the service they have been called to do? As a medical doctor, how many people are doing this? Let's borrow the word of our generation with their full chest today. How many of us wake up in the morning and we truly feel like going to that place of work, even though we know we will earn a salary at the end of the month? Some of us, you know, we do it, and somehow it has encroached into the household of God. But God is still very clear in his word. Let's go back to our theme. I know we read it earlier on. We have perhaps been reading it since the beginning of the service. Let's read it again. Colossians chapter 3. I will read from here, verse 23 to 25. Because if we say there's an epidemic in our times and days, God is immediately matching us at our place of service to say, for us, there must be a difference. Let me read it from here. It says, verse 23, and whatsoever, everyone say with me, say whatsoever. Say with me, say 100% service. It says, whatsoever you do, it could be as simply as an usher, being an usher. It could be as simply as those beautiful, glorious technical people pressing a few buttons, making our reading and interaction a lot more easier. It could be as serious as God placing a man over us, a woman, as our chaplain. It could be as serious as somebody being our board chairman with a lot of responsibilities over the chaplaincy. It doesn't matter. The Bible is very clear. Whatsoever. Please say with me, everyone. Say whatsoever. 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 Let me read it through now. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. And that's why I'm glad when our chaplain was leading us, he has taken some of, I mean, already spoken to some of my points. I will only be reemphasizing a few things. He just add a few things to that beautiful charge he has given to us. Whatsoever ye do, do it as who? Unto the Lord and not unto men. Verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord. Verse 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect for persons. So, people are seeking God in our times and days. That's why I said there's an epidemic. But nobody's serving God anymore. Sometimes what we think we are rendering by way of service is actually a way of seeking God just to obtain from him the benefit. When we come to Christ, when we obtain the gift of salvation, we were told loud and clear, do you accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior? Unconsciously, a lot of us are accepting him only as our Savior now, and no longer as our Lord. They are two different things. When we see God or Jesus as our Savior, it's only the Savior that will deliver me from lack. A Savior that will heal me when I feel sick in my body. Only a Savior that will rescue me from the challenges I'm going through. Whereas God wants us to be first and foremost people that will accept him as Lord. And that's why there's a definition of a cross as the place to meet God. Look at that cross. At the intersect where the vertical line is crossing the horizontal line is four junction. God is saying, I've called you to me to be at the junction like somebody who is going to serve. If I say go right, you go right. And that's what the cross represents. That's all. That's all about the symbol of the cross. Crucifying Jesus on the cross is not more symbolic than what we have just said. The Lord is opening our eyes of understanding. The cross just simply means when we get to a point where our own will dies and only his counsel becomes established in our lives. So that if our human knowledge says go right, but the scripture and the word of God and the leader of the Holy Spirit says go left, we go left because we are at the point of the cross. If he says go up, go down. And that's what it means to serve. That's what it means to see Jesus as our Lord. And then in the scripture we read the first part, verse 24. He said, know ye not that ye the Lord, know ye that of the Lord ye shall receive. So it is those who come to the place of the cross. It is that worker that understands that I'm at a crossroad and service requires that my life be placed at that junction, directed by God. He now said there is a reward. And so at the point of salvation, when we say, do you accept Jesus as your Lord? It is only then that the aspect of God as our Savior can come to full manifestation. But the world has turned it upside down. So, and we're not going to stand here and blame ourselves. Challenges of life has made us to mix everything up. So we are seeking God, but we are no longer serving God. and it has encroached also into the household of God. But I'm trusting God that over your own life, over my life, because God is calling our heart again by this retreat to the place of wisdom, God is opening our eyes afresh, beginning from now. Even if there have been errors, the Lord of heaven will give us grace to serve, serving faithfully, and serve with excellence in the mighty name of Jesus. All right. So, I just thought to lay that as a quick foundation before we take a few principles. So, I said there's an epidemic. People are seeking God, but not everyone is serving, but God has called us to a place of service. I want us to know today that not only does God want us to serve him, but he wants us to serve with excellence. Excellence. Everyone, please say with me, say excellence. Excellence. So, at the crossroad, at the place of the cross, is the place of salvation and the place of service. But today, the only extra God is reminding us about is that he doesn't want us to just serve. So, even when we break off from the epitome of not serving, is replacing it with a fact that not just that we need to serve, but we need to serve him with excellence. And I know we all have an idea of what excellence means. When you go to school, virtually every one of us, one way or the other, we have done some form of, taken some form of education. There's a difference between when something is good, when something is fair, and when something is what? Excellent. I'm sure we all can agree that when you are given excellence in everything, it means you have done well, but you have slightly gone above board and you qualify to be addressed as excellent. So, without getting too, dramatic with us, that's all God is saying. That in our service now for him in his vineyard, it may be as simple, like I said, as cleaning the chairs in the church as part of the sanctuary keepers. It may be as simple as just being one of those ushers who usher people in to take their seats. It may be these are our wonderful, glorious choristers who recognize that they have a grace, they have a gift, they have a virtue inside of them. And God wants them to use that voice to the glory of his name. It may be as simple as that. In whatever we do, God wants us to do it what? Excellently. So, what does it mean to serve God with excellence? By way of definition, since it's like also like a retreat, like a training, let's write something down. Serving God with excellence means bringing our whole heart. And that's why I know that our chaplain also used that word. At the point I was saying, did I quickly open my book and he peeped into it when I came in? Bringing our whole heart, our best skills, bringing our whole heart, our best skills, and purest motive. So, I want us to see those three things as our key words. Bringing our whole heart. We have been encouraged by the opening church with that. Our best skills. I will still touch on issue around our skills a little later in the course of the teaching. And our purest motive in carrying out any assignment that God has placed in our hands. I repeat, bringing our whole heart, our best skills, and our purest motive into carrying out any assignment that God has committed into our hands. So very simple, beloved brethren. Serving God with excellence goes beyond just saying, I have identified, I'm a worker in FMC Chapel. I know the way we call our own Chapel of Resurrection, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Or Resurrection Chapel, something of that light. So, it goes beyond just saying, I identify as a worker. No! But bringing our whole heart, the whole of our heart, not half-heartedly, not half-hazardly. And then, allowing our innate skills, the ones we have acquired, the one that God has given us grace to learn, the one that are natural to us like talents, and allowing them to impact whatever we do for God. And then the purest motive, saying to ourselves, whether somebody commends me or not, I will do this for God. Whether the chapel sees what I'm doing as deserving of a few financial reward or not, whether there's any incentive or whatsoever attached to this or not, no. This is my assignment for God. Our purest motive. Not because we want to compete with anybody. Not because we want to show ourselves as though, oh, we are also here. We can also do something. You are not the only ones that can do it. Purest motive. All of this put together makes us as people who are identified by God as serving with excellence. Before I just quickly go into seven principles that will also further encourage us and enhance our ability to serve God with excellence, let's ask ourselves a question. Why do we even need to serve God with excellence? Why can't we just serve God casually? Why can't we just be numbered among the numbers? Let me say this to us quickly, because I'm again getting conscious of time, so I'll be a bit fast now. Number one, why? When we serve God with excellence, we are telling the world that God is worth our best. When we serve God with excellence, we are telling the world out there, as in our simplicity in a chapel like this in FMC, we are telling our immediate community, the FMC community, that we have an excellent God and it deserves our best. How do I know? Popular scripture. Popular scripture, John 3:16, our popular scripture. I know perhaps the youngest child here may be able to recite it. Oh, for God so loved the world that he did what? Like we say, he gave. I know it's a scripture we use when we are taking offering. To God be the glory. But it goes beyond that. God gave us the best, so he deserves our best. Show me that you love God, and I'll point to a worker in the chapel who is serving God with excellence. Oh, I love you, God. I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fail me. We don't want to hear it only in song. The song is beautiful. Show us your service in the house of God. Let it be backed up by excellence. And then you tell the world, I have the best God. He's deserving of my best ability. I also find myself once in a position, once in a while, you know, when we are administering workers, I talk about timing. He knows also in the place where I'm coming from, timing is a very important thing. So I heard our chaplain say, please take that very seriously. So once in a while, when we're talking about the time here, you ought to have been in church, so time. Well, what's wrong with you workers? You are not there. Sometimes I add this. Nobody's saying it's convenient. I mean, you're a nursing mother, you have children, you have to perhaps wake up, put water on the fire, make food and all that. But you see, when you still go out of your way, if the time is 9, and in the midst of that, maybe perhaps rather than wake up 5, you decide to even wake up 4 because there's a timing you must keep with God. You are simply telling everyone around you. You are even inculcating the children in the family. You are if your neighbor see you going, ah, madam, today is Saturday. Will you not even stay at home and rest? Oh, God, throughout the way you've been working. In a manner of speaking, you are telling the world, I have the best God. It deserves my best. That's what it means. So why? I ask you, beloved brethren, why? Number one, why do we need to serve God with excellence? Because we tell the world, we tell everyone out there that God is worth our best. Number two, because there are four things very quickly. Why do we need to serve God with excellence? Because not all of us may have the loudest voice, but every one of us can have the most fruitful hands. Not all of us can have the loudest voice. But every single worker here, I tell you with all confidence, not my words, but scripture, every one of us here can have the most fruitful hands. So what do I mean by that? Look, except for, I know by the constitution, we may not have too many leaders here. If we create everybody as leaders or as chaplains, we will cause chaos. So, perhaps our chaplains and our leaders and some who have the problem, they are the only ones that can have the benefit of always being on the altar sharing. But every one of us may not be the leader here, but every one of us can use our hands to tell God, I am also here. And heaven recognizes us. So when I see people struggle for, in quote, the popular platforms, the loudest platforms, the platform that gives the best accolade, I say, hey, Holy Spirit, please give us wisdom. Give us wisdom in the things of the Spirit. It's not about how loud it is, but about how fruitful our hands can be. Do you know one of our fathers in the faith, before I make the statement I was about to make, he said you cannot even perform miracles except your hand learns to clean chairs, in a manner of speaking. You know what he's telling us? He's saying to us, these hands, as silent as they are, they can do better than the one that has the loudest voice. What am I saying to us? I'm saying that to serve God with excellence, you may not have the platform that will make you known by everyone, but your hands as a chorister, your hands as a technical person, Your hands as a sanctuary keeper. Your hands in whatever capacity can be the most fruitful. And heaven will look down and say, that one belongs to us. Because it is a sign that service with excellence is flowing forth to heaven. Number three, why? Why do we need to serve God with excellence? Number three, again, not every one of us may have the biggest platforms, but through excellent service, we can achieve the most excellent results. Not every one of us may have the biggest platforms, but through excellent service, we can have the most excellent results. In other words, in our little corner, in our space, wherever we are, our service, when backed up with excellence, can rise to God like a sweet-smelling salvo. Can that rise to God as a sweet-smelling salvo? And the fourth one, we need to serve God with excellence because our own understanding will fail us. You don't forget, we're asking ourselves the question before we look at the principles, a few of them. Number four, I said, we need to serve God with excellence because our own understanding, our own human understanding will fail us. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5. Because our own understanding will fail us. What did the Bible say? It says, serve God. I'm sure that's the way it is in your Bible. It says, serve God with what? All your heart. And lean not on what? Your own understanding. Let's break some things down. Even God knows that you and me have understanding. Let's be very clear. He knows. But our understanding can never carry us far. Our understanding will fail. And that's why God wants us to latch and lean more on something more sustainable, something more enduring, something that will be a greater and better foundation that cannot be shaken. He said, trust in me, hold on to me, serve me with diligence, because your own understanding will fail. I'm trusting God that over your life and my life, by the special and mighty grace of God, beginning from now, our service will be backed up by excellence in Jesus' name. So, beloved brethren, as I begin to wind down, I'm looking very closely at the time. I intend to keep very strictly with it. Let's look at seven principles that will help us to serve God with excellence. We have read in the scripture, our lead scripture for today, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, is very clear. Whatever you do, including in the household of God, including in the chapel, whatever we do, we should do with diligence. We should do it heartily, not unto man, unto God. So what are these seven principles we want to examine today that can push us further, that can help us further? What are these principles we can begin to operate immediately that can also aid our walk with God and help us to serve with excellence? I take them one after the other. Number one, to serve God with excellence, the first principle, service must be seen as a form of worship and not as an obligation. To serve God and not be a mere servant or render mere service, like a man of God will say, a service that does not catch fire, a service that is dead. We must serve God. See, our service must be seen as a form of worship and not as an obligation. Service must be backed up as our heart of worship to God, beloved brethren. You know, I know that when our chaplain was taking us on the charge, I know he mentioned a few points that speaks to this. Excellent service must flow from the heart that truly wants to worship God and not an obligation. Let me tell you the truth. If your reason for being a worker is because you want to please maybe our leaders, or you don't want the chaplain to be, you are missing it. That service may be service all right, but it's not with excellence. And you know, if we're not careful, there's a lot of high service in our times and days. I want to do this so that my pastor will not be angry with me. If I don't go to church now, my departmental leader will be upset with me. If I don't go to and render this service or do this thing, the next thing you see, they all come to my house and they'll come and visit me. Service must be seen as a form of worship. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Popular scripture. Romans 12, 1. Hey, the author speaking. He said, I beseech you, brethren. And that's the beginning of service. as a form of worship to God, a form of surrender to God, and not just merely an obligation. He said, present yourself as what? A living sacrifice. I love our old hymn. We don't hear it so much. Our old hymn. Too much noise these days. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart doth the spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest when your all on the altar is laid. Our relationship with God must be as though, Lord, this is my worship. My life is on the altar. I am take over my all and all. And not necessarily because, oh, it is trendy in our times and days to be a worker. It is normal to be in church and say, which department are you identifying with? No, that's not what God is looking for. God is looking first for our life to be a sweet-smelling savor to Him, to rise to Him in worship. And except that comes as our first priority, our service to God may be a mere service that may not be backed up with excellence. But I'm trusting God. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. In a manner of speaking, our service must be backed up by zeal. Zeal for God. Not zeal for anything else. Zeal for God. Psalm 69 verse 9. Psalm 69 verse 9. Confirmed in the book of John chapter 2 verse 17. The Bible records, and the zeal for the house of the Lord consumed him. Don't forget, that's what made Jesus to carry Cain. And we saw a side of him we have never seen before. Thank God we saw that side of Jesus. Otherwise, even our service will not be with excellence. Jesus took whip and began to whip all the buyers and sellers in the house of God. But what brought that? Zeal. In other words, he said, look, service in the house of God must be a form of worship. And then he began to practically demonstrate for that. Even if it takes whipping here and there, the house of the Lord must be for service and for worship and not for anything else. So, beloved brethren, to serve God with excellence, our service, and don't forget, I've been using this word. It can be as simple as anything. It can be as simple as just being a Sunday school teacher. Even though nothing is simple in the house of God, everything can lead to fruitfulness. But I'm just trying to explain. It could be as simple as my own is just to clean. I don't have the voice to sing, but my own is just to clean the altar, just to sweep the church. Whatever level it is, it must be backed up as a form of worship to God and not obligation. Heaven will give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Number two, what's the second principle to serve God with excellence? We must bring our best skills into God's service. As simple as that. We must bring all of our best skills, all of our best skills into God's service. See, when we serve God, and the best is not coming out of it, it's mere service. But if your service must move from a mere service to become an excellent, bring your best skills. Let me shock you. Some of us are working in places where some high level of discipline is required. God did not make you get that job because He wants you to earn only a salary. He wants you to learn skills and bring it into the household of God. Some of us are we are tech savvy. Thank God for the likes of being able to project, being able to transcribe everything. Best skills. So what's our tech savvy people, IT people? We can do wonders with the computer. Bring it to the house of God. Some of us are so organized. When people meet you, oh my God, you can organize. We can organize our offices, organize our job function. Bring that skill to the house of God. Excellence. That's what God is looking for. And that's why I say there's an epidemic. You see people in the household of God, in their places of work, they're very diligent being a bed, but when it comes to the house of God, like we say, they begin to drag feet, begin to do things anyhow. That's mix of priority. God wants us to bring our best skills. Whatever you know how to do, you know how to sing. Don't come and sing haphazardly. In fact, let the church be the blessed place where you display. You know how to play instrument. You know how to organize something. You know how to direct people. You know how to arrange things. Bring everything to the house of God so that your service to God can be described as excellence. So God wants us to bring our best skills. How do I know? Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10. Whatsoever your hands find to do, do it what? Well. In the book of Exodus chapter 35. Exodus 35 from verse 31 to 32. Exodus 35. There's a man called Bezaleel. The Bible was very clear. He said Bezaleel was filled with skills. And immediately the scripture say the reason for skill is so that excellence can be traced to his life. Listen to me. Every one of us have been called to be like Bezaleel in our times and days. The reason why God gave you that skill, oh my God, it's very useful in our offices. Please keep using it in the office. But more importantly, God wants us to use it in his household. You have a way with children. God wants you to come and help us handle children well in church and impact positively upon their life. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. So, to serve God, don't forget, we are not talking about serving God merely, casually. We are talking about those who serve God with what? With excellence. Say with me, everyone. I'm an excellent servant in God's yard. That's what we are saying. We are not just mere servants. Not just called by the gift of salvation. But God has given us the privilege to move from the realm of just accepting the gift of salvation to identifying ourselves as threshold instruments, vessels in his hands. Not just mere vessels, but vessels that will do two things simultaneously. Confound the kingdom of darkness, raise up the kingdom of God. Confound the kingdom of darkness, raise up the kingdom of God. That's who we are. That's why everything about us cannot be casual. So, in our confounding the kingdom of darkness on earth, raising the kingdom of God, the extra is the excellence God is looking for. I have identified two things thus far. One, this service to God, no matter how simple it is, no matter how big or small it is, must be as a form of worship back unto God rather than obligation. So it's not tied to any pastor. It's not tied to any head of department. It's not tied to anybody clapping for us. That's why if a worker who is rendering excellent service, whether you get the pat on the back or not, you move on. Like we joke, like we say this time, you bring it on. The more you are castigated, the more you bring it on. Everyone says to me, say, bring it on. Come on, let's bring it on. Our best service, our best skills, our service for God. Tap your neighbor, say, my neighbor. Come on, bring it on. So bring it on. Bring that life of worship to God on in the service. Bring your best skills on in service unto God. And heaven will give us grace, strength, and divine enablement to carry on in Jesus' name. Number three, beloved brethren, I'm again staying close to my time. Number three, we're talking about the principles that helps us to serve God with excellence. Number three, we must be faithful in all things. Then put in brackets. I decided to make it very practical. I'm not getting theological with us. I'm not getting like a preacher. Practical things. What we call low-hanging fruit, we can start practicing. I repeat again. We must be faithful in all things. Then put in brackets. Particularly in small things. I'll break it down for us. We must be faithful in all things. Particularly in small things. Listen to me. Even in the household of God, a lot of us want to start with the big things. It doesn't work that way. Check life now. We're in the hospital. Check life. Mothers give birth to children every day in the hospital here. Is it the day you give birth to a child, the child starts walking? Beloved brethren, one day at a time. One step at a time. One coming under God's grace, one step at a time. One level of unction at a time. See, God himself has enabled life for progress. That's it. Even life by very nature is not static. Am I correct? Okay, I see one of our mommies holding one young, I think she's a young, beautiful lady. A lady that will go and dominate our generation in future. Come back and check that young lady 5 years' time. You will not see a lady being carried on her lap. Am I correct? Yes. You're likely to see a lady running around, you know, be able to speak. Come and check her out 20 years and you'll be amazed at who you see. Inside life is progress. Is that not so? Yes, sir. See, let me also convince you. It's scriptural. Popular scripture. It says the path of the righteous is what? See, it will shine today. Then what will happen tomorrow? Brighter. Progress. But be careful. He said the path. No time to go into that theology. The path of who? The righteous. He didn't say anybody. So it doesn't come cheap. It doesn't come cheap. Now what am I saying? Embedded in our very life is progress. So if God wants to carry us to that big thing, let's start small. It's not until you have the all might to stand like our chaplain here before you now say, hey, it's time to now serve God. Excellent. No! You have just been just finish workers in training. Start from there. Start small. Little by little, precept by precept. Remember, we serve a God who is progressive. We serve a God who takes us from one level of glory to another level of glory. You know why I'm saying this? If we are not careful, in our times and days, everybody wants to jump the process and get to the destination. But life does not work that way. If I say to people, when I'm discussing secular things, and when I say secular things, maybe all this management thing, finance thing we discuss in some other forum, we are privileged to do. Nothing big and good you see today that doesn't have a process. In fact, when you jump the process, I want to demonstrate something. Hello, sir. The usher, please come. I'm using an usher because I know usher will understand that I'm not trying to embarrass him. Please come, sir. Yes, sir. What's your name, sir?
Sunday.
Ah, brother Sunday, God bless you. I know he's a powerful usher in church. Brother Sunday, please, if you don't mind, can you jump as high as you can jump, please, Brother Sunday. As high as you can jump, but just watch the fan. Don't do that quickly. Wow. Did you all see how Brother Sunday jumped? Please put your hands together for Brother Sunday. Go back. In life, when you jump up, you come down. But with God, when you grow up, you stay up. Excellent service. God wants us to grow and stay up. But you know how it starts? Small things. One day at a time. I don't know how to pray much, but I joined the prayer department because I know that's where God has called me. I begin to learn one day at a time. It's not until I become the prayer leader before God can use me. Don't forget our hands can be the best. People may not even know me in church, but as I keep rendering that service, I'm being fruitful, being a blessing to lives, one day at a time. You'll be amazed. A time will come, you will have an international platform still on that ministry. But in our times and days, they don't want the process, but they want the result. God is not an author of confusion. Say with me, everyone. Say, God is not an author of confusion. So let's bring it home. Why did I make all of these statements? The third point, be faithful in all things, especially in small things. If in the FMC chapel is one, in quote, small thing you have as your own space as a worker, continue there. Faithfulness. That's all God wants to see. And that's what brings excellence. Faithfulness in small things will bring big things. Let's read scripture so we can understand what we are saying. Luke chapter 16 verse 10. I will read it from here. Luke chapter 16 verse 10. It says, whosoever is faithful in very little, we also be what? Faithful in much. That's God for you. I have a lot of youngsters around me, you know, in the university. So I say to them, because I see a lot of tendencies, and I think it applies. If you are too big to handle small things now, a time will come in life, you become too small to handle big things. Same applies as a worker. Start with small things. Tap your neighbor. Say, my neighbor. Let's start with the small things. And that's God for you. Anything big that we endure the test of time today did not just start big, just little by little. Because the world today wants us to think if you are not on the big platform yet, you are not doing anything. No, it's the lie of the devil. So let's start with small things. Heaven will give us understanding in Jesus. Hey, what have we said so far? Service to God with excellence as our principles. Number one, service must be seen as a worship and not as an obligation. We must bring the best skills to bear in God's service. We must be faithful in all things, particularly in small things. In other words, we follow the process. That's how excellent workers are groomed. Excellent men grow in the things of God. Number four, prepare diligently for every kingdom assignment. You know, I told you I'm not using theological words. I'm not even telling us words that would sound sweet. Prepare diligently is as straightforward as that. Prepare diligently for every kingdom assignment. Please, I beg in God's name, the excellent worker will not know that I'm the one leading prayer in today's fellowship. And just as an obligation, 5 minutes before, you just start searching your phone, look for one scripture, and let's begin to thank God. No! That's not excellent service. That's mere service. The excellent worker will say, hey, first is a privilege. It's a privilege to lead Bible study in church. Oh my God. I may not have 1,000 platform. Maybe our attendance may not even be more than 20. But it's a privilege to go. You go back. Father, please give me a word. Father, speak your word. If the word, whichever way God speaks to you, you take time. Even if it's a simple scripture, you go through it diligently.
When it comes to God, there's no over-familiarity. And that's why I fear what I see with men of God these days. I see it once in a while. Eh? People even choose platform. They go, that platform is too small for me. That platform is too big. All the time, so platform, they just walk into. No. See, the Bible says, no one goes to the house of a strong man without what? Without first preparing. Every platform that God gives to us to serve him, the devil is also available to contend with us. Am I correct, everyone? We can't go into it casually. So what am I saying? We must prepare diligently for every kingdom assignment. Whatever you want to do in the house of God as a worker, if excellence must be associated with what we are rendering to God, we must prepare diligently. Everyone say with me, say, I will prepare diligently. Where there's a need to wait on God in the place of fasting, let us wait. When there's a need to study, to say, Holy Spirit, I need your inspiration. Holy Spirit, I need a word from you. Holy Spirit, I need your direction. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Let's go through the process and not get too familiar with God. Getting familiar with God is like, let me use myself as an example, knowing that by God's grace, just by mere privilege, I will stand before these wonderful people. And then I assume that after all, we've been doing this pastor thing for years. I just pick my Bible, I just walk in here, I start blowing grammar to you. But if you may even clap for me at the end of the day. But if heaven will look down and say, have you rendered effective service? I may be marked wrong if that is my approach. That's what we are saying. Prepare for every kingdom assignment. Please don't take God casual. Please don't get too familiar with God. Don't become too big to pray for every ministration before you go. Don't become too familiar with God that fasting looks like after I'm not having any challenge, so there's no need to fast again. Don't become too familiar even with the leadership of the church. Is it not that man? We know him now. We know when he joined FMC. Just because they make him chaplain. No. Don't become too familiar with everything. Why? Because we want to render excellent service, not mere service, unto God. The Lord will give us understanding in Jesus' name. Look at what the scripture says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy says, study to show yourself what? Approved. Mark chapter 3, verse 27. Mark 3, 27. No one goes to the house of a strong man without first doing what? Preparing. God teaching us about preparation. And I say to people, for every public manifestation, there's always a secret preparation. So, let's prepare diligently for every kingdom assignment. Okay? I still have about 15 more minutes. Number 5. Just 7 of them. Number 5. Don't forget what we have seen so far. Sorry, I'm also partly a teacher. So, if you see me taking everything, repeating myself, sometimes it's for us to grasp it well. Number 1. Service must be seen as a form of worship and not an obligation. Number 2. We must bring our best skills to bear in God's service. Number 3. We must be faithful in all things, particularly in small things. And what we're saying there is that go through the process. Start small. Anything small eventually grows to become something big. Part of the righteous like a shining light. The light of God will shine upon it. Number 4, we say we must prepare diligently for every kingdom assignment. We don't treat God as if God is a haphazard God. We don't treat God casually. No, we have a diligent preparation towards ministrations and towards the service for God. Number 5, service, perhaps one of the most important, must be backed up with a life of honesty and integrity. Very important. Service must be backed up with a life of honesty and integrity. And I want to add my own now, because this is the inspiration from God. I want to say, for it to be this defined as excellent service. Service must be backed up with honesty and integrity. You know, no matter how much, beloved brethren, let's be very blunt with ourselves. No matter how much we try to worldenize scriptural things, good things of God, no matter how much we try to Christianize worldly things, Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. In the book of Revelation, God speaking to us, he said, I will spew you out of my mouth. Ye who are neither what? Hot nor cold. Let me be blunt with us, beloved brethren. And that's why I love platforms like chapels. I know we are Bible-believing basis, platforms. Please, if you are still delaying whether to be here, please be here.
I also, once in a while, in my own university also, we work with the chaplains. I run because there's a lot to do so that we don't get to. And I know one of the things chaplains everywhere stand for, chapels, I mean, is the truth of the word of God. There is no sitting on the fence with God. It's either we step out and say, I am a child of God, or we are not children of God. That middle game the world has pushed, in quotes, seem to push us into, it's okay to do a bit of the world and a bit of God. It is not scriptural. It is the lie of the devil. I'm sorry if I'm hurting or I'm saying things that are hard, from the pit of hell. God is still looking for real men and real women. Who is a real man? That one that will stand up and say, I am a child of God. I refuse to compromise. I refuse to go the path of the world. And like our old song says, I have decided to follow who? To follow Jesus. The world behind me, the cross, the place wherein my life is subjected totally to the Holy Spirit, is the one that is before me. Integrity. When you come to somebody today in our world, our own time and days, if I didn't know pastor before, and I say, sir, I'm born again. In fact, that's when pastor will not treat me with suspicion. The fact that I even use that word, born again. Or maybe I come, what's your name, madam? I'm Sister Blessing. Ah, because sister is there. In fact, all my six sons will come alive. You know why? In our own times and days, God forbid, to be born again, you can be born again and still be doing green bottles. Can be born again, still living anyhow. Can be born. That's what the world is preaching. But thank God for the word of God that cannot be broken. Integrity backs up our lives and makes it excellence. We are workers who are workers who are excellent in service. Don't come to church, raise up holy hands, and go back to the place of darkness. No, that is not an excellent worker. Workers who are of God are not people who are wanting in the daytime and something else. No, we're not standing here to judge anyone or to try to paint a picture, fan picture. No. Or a picture as if perfection. No. Listen to me. What the scripture says is that, be ye holy as I what? As I am what? As I am holy. God wants us every day strive towards a life of holiness, a life of righteousness with him. In the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 2, Romans 12:2, he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transform by what? A renewing. So here's the thing now. Every day God wants us to get better. Transformation is a process. By a renewal of your mind. So today, I am like this. Tomorrow, I get better. Tomorrow, I get better. Next tomorrow, a better version of myself every day. That's the life God has called us to. That's the life he has called us to. But the life of pretext, let's go and pretend to them in church and then out there, something else that's against scripture. No. So, excellent service comes with integrity. When we know us in chapel, when we get to our place of work, our recall beat of assignment, everybody there can attest that we're children of God. When we get to our neighborhood and we knock, we're looking for so and so, neighbors will not shout and say, hey, that one too goes to church. No, we are not being ruled by other people's opinion, by scripture. I'm talking about by scripture. Because in our times and days, you see somebody say, I'm born again, I'm a minister, I'm a pastor, I'm a this, and yet, what flows out is nothing of Christ. So, excellent workers, they don't pretend. First, wherever they go, not that they carry it on their face, they don't get righteous on people, but they never pretend about who they are. When they get to a place, they make it clear, I am a child of God. I'm standing upon a rock that cannot be shaken. Compromise is of on any ground is not my portion. Because my hands is in the hands of Jesus. So, beloved brethren, that excellent worker, as the fifth point, is that worker that backs up his service with a life of honesty and integrity. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 1. Proverbs 11:1. The Lord delights in honesty. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 9. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 9. It says, whosoever walks in integrity walks securely. Titus chapter 2 verse 7. Titus chapter 2 verse 7. It says, let our teaching show in integrity. Let us walk as diligent men and women, serving God faithfully, being on fire for God, being the light of the world, standing in a place and darkness, finding it difficult to comprehend around our environment. And I'm trusting God that the grace over your life and my life that will make us live the perfect life God has called us to live on earth, heaven, we multiply it upon all of our lives in Jesus' name.
All right, two more points quickly.
I'm seeing by my timing, I have 7 more minutes. Let me do it in 5 minutes and then we'll pray simple prayer.
Number 6, come strongly under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, what that means is that to be an excellent worker, we must always come strongly. Come strongly. We must come firmly. Even when everything tries to distract us, we must come firmly under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Oh my God, beloved brethren, I know you know this. That's why we are not in trouble, because we're working with the Holy Spirit. No one walks with the Holy Spirit and be a loser. Galatians 5:16. He said, walk in the Spirit, and you will not what? You will not satisfy the desires of the flesh. In other words, we have no options as children of God. As children of God, if we must make a success of our race here on earth, if we must make a success of our ministry here in the chapel, if we must be those workers described as excellent workers, we must walk with the Holy Spirit. And you know, there are many voices here and there, but we must be able to walk in such a way that we walk with the Holy Spirit. We listen to the voice of God. We are led by the Spirit of God. We only do it the Jesus way. There's a way they do it in FMC. No, don't do it the FMC way. Do it the Jesus way. When you're on campus as a student, there's a way they do it on campus. Don't do it the Jesus way. Come under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and do it the Jesus way. So we must come strongly. Everyone say with me, say strongly. Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Our popular scripture, Zechariah 4:6. Zechariah 4:6. What does it tell us? It says everything in life is never by power. Am I correct, everyone? Not by might, but by what? By the Spirit of the living God. So, beloved brethren, don't forget to be those workers who are serving God with excellence. Service must be seen as a form of worship and not an obligation. Must bring our best skills into God's service. We must be faithful in all things, particularly starting small and in little things. Number 4, we must prepare diligently for every kingdom assignment. Number 5, service must be backed up with a life of honesty, integrity, holiness, righteousness, whatever it is scripture has commanded us. Number 6, we must come strongly under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And finally, in the next few minutes, we must walk diligently with other brethren in the household of God. We must walk diligently and in unity. We must walk diligently and in unity with all the brethren in the household of God. We must walk diligently and in unity. Emphasis on unity. Emphasis on diligently. With all the brethren in the household of God. I'm sorry to say this, but one of the things the devil has used as a cheap point. Okay, let me repeat it one more time for those who are writing. We must walk diligently and in unity with other brethren in the household of faith. I was going to make a statement that one of the things the devil has used as a cheap weapon, cheap strategy to rob children of God blessings of great exploit is disunity. And I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about. And you know, one of the painful things that in our times and days again, that's why I said there's an epidemic. Please, let's run from this epidemic. Let's immune ourselves through the grace and the Spirit of the living God. In church today, everybody is born again, so everybody knows it. Somebody even said one time, a very great man of God, he said, Christians are the most difficult people to lead. Why? Everybody is born again. Everybody can speak in tongues. Everybody hears from the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. Let's work in teams. And I see that in organizations today, one of the new principles of management generally, people don't work in isolation. They work in teams. Am I correct? You'll be hearing the secular. Although we go for trainings, you'll be hearing collaboration. Make sure you collaborate. International, teams. That's one of the popular words now on the internet. Teams. We are using teams in the secular. It's succeeding. Why are we not using teams in the household of God? Listen to me. When somebody is the head of a department, it doesn't make him the most superior over everyone. It's just to give focus to that department. Am I correct? So why should there be strife? Nobody's doubting that you may be better than the head of the department. Maybe I should shake the table a little. Some of us who think we are ministers, I say to people, maybe I should even use our chaplain because I know he understands. He's mature at that level. Some of us can preach better messages than our chaplain. Am I correct? But, you see, today is the leader. By design, God has made him the head. Work together with him. Who knows, tomorrow you may be the head as well. That's what we are saying. We must work diligently. Because you see, the devil has a way of throwing disunity. The worst part of disunity that is very silent, but shallow. Unity is deeper than disunity. But disunity is a very subtle thing the devil throws, especially in the things of God. I'm sorry to say, God forbid here, but if the devil wants to scatter this chapel, all you know, just make two people, their voices, they are, as if they are speaking different language, disagreement. Before you know it, the devil takes over. But that will never be our portion in Jesus' day. Why am I enlightening these workers? Let's be careful. We are diligent workers. Anything that will promote disunity, please stay away from it. Anything that will cause rancor, please take your hands off it. Why? That excellent worker is that worker that will work in unity with fellow workers. In that department, work with your head of department. Work with the assistant head. Work with the chaplain. Work with our leaders. Work with the board chairman. Work with the governing council. Work with everybody in unity. You look, let's be blunt. You may be better than them in the service. Perhaps you even know, believe that there's bigger thing you can offer. For now, if they are the leader, work with them. If God has placed anyone over you, please work with them. There is blessing in working in unity. Scripture is very clear. As I read, finally, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9. Popular scripture. He said, two are better than one because they have a good reward. And our popular scripture, Psalm 133 verse 1. He said, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brethren do what? When they dwell in unity. So, beloved brethren, let's work as teams. Let's work united. And when we do that, we starve the enemy. We starve the devil. The opportunity of encroaching to our midst and reducing the excellence that heaven has prepared to be associated with our service. And I'm trusting God that you and me, in all our callings and our work with God, as we operate these principles, heaven will look down and say, behold, these are ours. This belongs to us. And all of our service, as we render to God, we continue to rise to God in the heavenlies as a sweet-smelling savor in Jesus' name. Please bow your heads with me. I have one more minute. I want to share a word of prayer. Can you say with me, beloved brethren, just one simple prayer. Say with me, say, Heavenly Father. Pray as if you're a worker. Please be on your feet, everyone. Don't mind. Please just be on your feet. Just a minute. I want us to pray prayer together. Please say with me, say, Heavenly Father. Now one more time, pray as if you mean it. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. I receive fresh grace to work as an excellent worker in your vineyard. In the name of Jesus, please make that declaration. Almighty God, we call upon you this morning. Thank you for the word of life you have brought forth. Everyone, I will keep praying. Pray for yourself. I pray for myself. And I round it up in just a few seconds. Help me, Lord, to walk diligently with you. I refuse to allow for disunity. I will walk in the place of righteousness. I will walk in holiness. Almighty God, behold the commitment we are making this morning. We don't want to be mere workers. We want to be excellent workers. Suffer our hearts to know no rest except we remain diligent, committed to you. Let our life not be filled with guile. Everything that is not of you, Lord, immune us. We will receive grace, we will receive strength to bring our best skills upon the works you have placed upon our hands. And at every time, our service for you will forever rise like a sweet-smelling savour. Thank you, Father, for answering all our prayers. To you alone be all the glory, for in Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. Father, we thank you. In you we have the confidence that you have done beyond our expectations. Beginning from now, unction to function effectively as excellent workers is multiplied upon our lives. Thank you, our Heavenly Father. Again, we thank you greatly on behalf of our chapel, the chaplaincy as a whole. We have the confidence in you. That the grace, the strength to carry on as workers, as a body of Christ, is multiplied upon us. Thank you, Ancient of this, for in Jesus' precious and mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.
Amen. In 1 minute, let's stretch forth our hands towards our guest speaker.